Hi, it's Randy Morrison, Associate Editor of thecorporatecouncil.net. I'm here today with Sandy Peters, Head of the Financial Reporting Policy Group at CFA Institute. In this podcast, Sandy discusses the CFA Institute's new report regarding investor perspectives on the use of forward-looking information in financial reporting. Sandy, thank you so much for taking the time today to discuss this key topic. What historical developments prompted obtaining investors' views about the use of forward-looking information?
Thank you, Randy, for your corporate counsel interest in our report. What prompted our writing this report was really our observation of a conversation regarding a proposal by the FASB in 2012 on its interest and liquidity disclosures proposal. At that time, the FASB was putting out a proposal that would suggest to include liquidity and interest rate risk disclosures in the body of the financial statements in response to investor feedback that they had received as a result of their 2010 exposure document on financial instruments, where they said that they heard from investors that they wanted both a mixture of things measured at amortized cost and things measured at fair value, and they wanted more information on the cash flow characteristics of those financial instruments. So in the FASB's attempting to respond to what investors wanted, they put out this proposal. But the proposal was met with a lot of pushback from the corporate and preparer community with respect to the fact that many perceived that the information was forward-looking and belonged outside of the financial statements rather than inside the financial statements. And at that time, that seemed inconsistent to investors who were simultaneously seeing the FASB work on a financial instruments proposal for impairment, impairing financial instruments, which would anticipate all expected future losses on a financial instrument. And we felt it was inconsistent to not include disclosures which were forward-looking, but simultaneously have a project to measure financial instruments with extreme forward-looking measures as we saw them at the time. So it was really the genesis of this was observing that dialogue and talking with investors who were close to the standard-setting process at the time to get their perspectives on whether they were observing similar sort of inconsistencies in that conversation. So that's why we wanted to sort of pursue and investigate the topic a little bit more.
Okay, what are the report's key findings?
The findings are really that there is an inconsistency in these arguments. There's an inconsistency between, we looked at, I think I include in the report one financial institution which said, we don't want to include these liquidity and interest rate risk disclosures, but we believe that the impairment model, as an example, should be forward-looking. And we found there to be arguments that were inconsistent in the discussion of various standards at the time. But we also found that the argument against forward-looking information was inconsistent with what actually already exists in the financial statements. And by already exists, I mean that we, in the report, go through and identify various places where there is a good degree of forward-looking information in the financial statements. We try and highlight that there's actually no definition of forward-looking statement or forward-looking information in U.S. GAAP, that this is that term is a construct of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. And what we illustrate in the paper is that since the passage of that law, there's only been more forward-looking information that's been included in the financial statements. So the passage of FAS 115, which is accounting for financial instruments that said book them at fair value or record many of them at fair value, or FAS 133, which said record derivatives at fair value or account for stock-based compensation using fair value-like measures or include pension obligations using a more current value measurement of the assets and liabilities. Much has progressed since the passage of that act. And yet, we simultaneously hear that we can't include forward-looking information in the financial statements as an objection to providing investors with what they perceive to be useful financial information. And we highlight in the report why investors think forward-looking information is so important. Measures of the past don't tell us what things are worth today, and investors are all about figuring out what something is worth today. So our findings and the points we're trying to illustrate are that there is a vast amount of forward-looking information that currently exists within the financial statements.
Okay, what does the CFA Institute plan to do with the findings, and what are the ultimate objectives?
Well, our objective is really to highlight and to have a more critical and thoughtful conversation about what is forward-looking information. We're not suggesting that law can necessarily be changed, but what we've seen is that some improvements that would be useful for investors, some disclosures which would be useful to include, for example, this liquidity and interest rate risk disclosure, something that shows us a funding gap on financial institutions, for example, they're sort of getting stalled because of this conversation about whether this information belongs in the financial statements or whether it belongs in the forepart. And certainly we completely understand the safe harbor provisions associated with forward-looking information, but we simultaneously see that we're not getting information, improvements in information, because that there's this debate about where it belongs, and we struggle to see how we can make some things forward-looking in the financial statements, but we can't put disclosures that help explain them. So what we're really seeking to do is to highlight that there already is this vast amount of information in the financial statements, and for there not to be this automatic association by particularly accountants of that if it's labeled forward-looking, yes, it must be outside the financial statements. We're just trying to highlight that we need to think a little bit more about that topic. And I think that the FASB, in its recent exposure document on a conceptual framework around disclosures, has coined the term future-oriented information in an attempt to sort of distinguish it from forward-looking. And we go through the report and we spend a few pages analyzing where we think they're trying to make that distinction. But we sort of come to the conclusion that it's really hard to draw that line because so much has already moved into the financial statements that sort of, I think we say that the conceptual Rubicon has been crossed, and we don't know how you draw that line and what are the decision-making processes around that. But what we're seeking is for the SEC, as a part of this disclosure effectiveness, to give us their perspective on which belongs where, and help us understand that this isn't necessarily used to forestall improvements in disclosures for investors. So that's really our ultimate objective. Is this is education and the SEC sort of critically thinking about this and possibly giving us some perspectives on it, which in 2012 they alluded to the fact that they might be doing, but that didn't actually come about with some change in staff at the SEC.
Okay, what should companies take away from this report?
I think it's sort of the same thing in that certainly we appreciate that investor or that companies want the protections of the PSLRA, but we want them to appreciate that information, forward-looking information, is very useful to investors, and that guiding principles with respect to what belongs where would be helpful not only to investors, but just really having corporate counsels, as an example, who may not be familiar with all of the accounting rules. Certainly, you know, they deal with accountants in preparing the SEC filings, but you know, this notion of what's included in some of these measurements, you know, we'd like to highlight that point to them as well, and for them to take away an understanding of that perspective that investors have as well.
Thank you, Sandy. This information has been extremely informative. I appreciate your spending the time.
Thank you.